Welcome to Taking Control, everyone, the home organizing podcast from Take Control Organizing. My name is Pete Wright, and I am here with Nikki Kinzer.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today.
How are you doing, Nikki?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I'm very excited about what we're going to talk about today because I feel like you took yourself to task.
I did.
And we're going to hear about that this morning. What we're talking about is the touch it once rule, which frankly, yes. I can't get over how it's just been really frustrating. It has been very frustrating rule.
It is a frustrating rule, and that's why I wanted to talk about it. And that's why I actually put myself in the challenge of it, too, because when I did the blog post originally, you know, I talk about my mail system, which is not a touch it once rule. So it's not a rule that I think you can realistically always follow.
Now, is that your mail system? Just to review, your mail system is the area that you really were focusing on the touch it once rule on. Is that right?
Well, typically, no, it's not just the focused on the mail. That was just sort of an example that I used that I felt was an easy example to talk about. Because mainly paper is a huge issue for most people, and that's a lot of times where we don't touch it once. But you can use the touch it once rule on anything. I mean, it could be a coat. Instead of putting the coat on the back of the chair, you skip that step and you actually put the coat on a hanger in the closet.
Okay, so that's the touch it once rule. Can you let's just sort of back it up and kind of define what is the touch it once rule? Where did it come from and how is it best used?
You know, I don't know where it came from, but if you read any kind of organizing book or how to organize, you're probably going to see this rule because it's a very common rule that organizers use or that we try to talk to our clients about. I'm not completely sold on the rule, and so that's where I differ a little bit probably than maybe if you read it from a book, you're going to read that you need to try to do this. I think it's a great goal, and it's certainly something to try to achieve, but I don't think it's very realistic. What the goal is, or what the rule is, what you're wanting to achieve is exactly what I said. And when you come home, instead of throwing your coat and your keys wherever they lay, you want to actually put them where they belong. So this is to say that you already have a place in your home that your coat goes to. You already have a place where you're putting your keys that they're supposed to go to. So instead of having any extra steps, you touch it once and it goes straight to the place that it belongs. And so with paper, for example, it's supposed to save you time. It's supposed to eliminate those extra steps. So when you have your mail, instead of putting it in a basket like I do, technically what you're supposed to do is go through it that day and file it and pay the bills and do everything you're supposed to do right then so that you're eliminating – you're supposed to save some time is exactly what the goal of the rule is.
That's that's one area that I tried it. I tried handling the mail that way. And in general, I do a pretty good job, but mostly it's the first step for me is I'm going to stop with the mail. I'm going to sort it into two piles, stuff I'm not even going to look at and stuff that I need to process later. And usually the process later stuff is, you know, it's the stack of bills. And the bills are for finance night. I always thought I was, you know, doing the right thing by scheduling some time in my week to pay the bills that I know is going to be consistent every week. Monday night, I'm going to sit down and pay the bills. All the bills get paid, etc. By the touch it once rule, I really should, you know, deal with each bill as it comes in. Is that right? If I were being a strict kind of, Puritan about this rule?
Black and white, yeah. Yes. You know, technically, yes. I mean, that's how I perceive it. Now somebody else might perceive it differently, but I don't, and that's where I differ on the rule, because I think that everybody needs to have their own system and whatever works best for you. And if having Monday nights be your finance night, then that's what works. And it's exactly what I do, because I put all of my mail in a basket. I don't go through my mail every day. For whatever reason, I don't like mail. I never have. I don't even check it on a daily basis in the mailbox. I usually go like every 2 or 3 days. I've always been that way. Even, you know, prior to being a professional organizer, still as being a professional organizer, that's just the way I do things. So when I do get the mail, it drives my husband crazy because,
I can imagine.
Where's the mail? Still in the box. So anyway, but that's a whole nother story. But you know, I get the mail, I put it in a basket, and then basically when that basket starts to get kind of filled up, and I do it about once a week because I don't want to miss any bills, and I don't want to make, you know, I want to make sure that everything is paid on time, or that I am getting back to people that I need to get back to. So you really don't want to go more than once a week. But I think once a week I'll sit down, and while I'm watching American Idol or watching some silly TV show, I go through my mail and I stick it in the piles that I need to stick it into, which would be the filing and, you know, the things to respond to and the bills to pay. And initially that's really what you're doing too, is you're putting in the piles that you need to put them in, and then you're paying your bills every Monday or whatever. And there are people that do it around their paydays. You know, if you get paid on the 15th and the 30th, that's when you pay your bills. So maybe you put your bills in a special folder that is, you know, that says bills to pay. And and you're scheduling the time to do it. So there are so many ways for mail systems to work, you know, that I don't think there really is one right or wrong way. I think what we probably need to focus more on is not so much the mail, but the other items like the coats and the,
Well, I was
you know,
just going to say that. I think one of the other areas you mentioned was the kitchen, the dishes.
Yes.
How does the rule apply in a bit more of a practical sense around something that's a little bit more, I don't know, binary,
Not so complex,
simple,
yeah.
right?
I agree. And that's where my challenge came in, was the dishes and my closet, because what I tend to do is I won't always put the dishes in the dishwasher. And so when I developed this blog post, I thought, okay, how am I going to apply this so that I can try to see how this works? And for me, that touch it once rule was not to put the dishes in the sink, that you wanted to go ahead and put the, you know, instead of just sticking them in the sink, go ahead and put them in the dishwasher and eliminate that step altogether. So what you're doing is you're eliminating that clutter, that dish clutter, right, that you might see in your sink, and you're just getting the job done. You're just doing it. You're not procrastinating. You're not waiting. And, you know, I did really well unless the dishwasher was clean. And then that was a whole nother step that I had to do. So, you know, and this is where I stumble, because I still put the dishes in the sink until I was ready to unload the dishwasher. So, you know, it is not a perfect rule, and we don't, you know, that's just not how we live our lives.
Well,
I mean, we're not.
it's so funny. I mean, what you're describing is exactly that when I would find myself cursing you, is when the
Yeah.
dishwasher was cleaned. Oh, Nikki, why
Now
did
I have
you?
to unload the
That's
dishwasher.
right, because or now I just have to make sure I get my kids to clear my dishes, so then I'm not technically touching them, and they're the
Right.
ones who, they don't have to live with this curse like I do.
No. Well, and that was the hard part. And that, you know, in the next blog post that I wrote about the week in review, and I was very honest about that really was my stumbling point. It's like, okay, well, now I have this clean dishwasher. When am I going to do that? What this rule did for me, and what I think it did for some of my readers that I got feedback on, is that it just makes you more aware of your actions. It makes you more aware of the thinking process of, if I'm really trying to eliminate this mess, if I'm really trying to keep the clutter at bay, you know, just being aware of your steps and how many steps you're taking before that item actually gets put in place, it really does help. It doesn't mean that you're going to only touch it once, but I think that just being aware of it does definitely make a difference. And it did in my closet, because that was the other area that what I'll t tend to do is I'll take a sweatshirt off and I won't fold it back in the drawer, or I mean on the shelf, or I won't put it in the hamper. I'll hang it up, or I'll just kind of sit on the back of a chair, or we'll just kind of, like, you know, be laying on a
Sure.
shelf. And so what this rule did for me with that was to really make a choice right then. Okay, is this dirty? It goes in the hamper. If it's not dirty and I can rewear it again, then it needs to be folded back and put back on the shelf where it belongs. And for that, it really did help me, because just, again, being consciously aware of how I am controlling this space, you know, really did make a difference.
That's a huge takeaway, and I it's like a diet log. As soon as you start writing down what you're eating, you find you don't eat as much garbage. Well, if you, as long as you're aware of how many steps you're taking or you're adding to your otherwise organized system, you'll find yourself more organized as a result.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just being aware and thinking about your steps and
right.
and not beating yourself up, you know, because you didn't touch it once. I mean, you know, I think that like the whole dishes, I like the last sentence I wrote in my blog post with the week in review is I knew the dishes were going to get done. You know, I knew that by the end of the night, I was going to have the dishes done. It doesn't always have to, you know, be right then. And that's okay. We have to give ourselves a little bit of room to live and breathe and not worry about it so much.
Well, and speaking of room to live and breathe, we have a new checklist.
Yes, we do. And I'm very excited about it. In fact, I just filled mine out for today.
That's great. living by the system. What is the new checklist that we're going to upload today?
It is a daily schedule checklist, and what I wanted this checklist to look like is there are days where literally I have every hour accounted for, and it's stressful because, you know, you have to get so much done in this daytime, and every hour, every half hour, I have to either be somewhere, pick somebody up, or do something. And so what I wanted to do was design a daily schedule checklist that would help you organize your day on paper so you could visually see it. And that's why on this daily checklist, you're going to see a schedule that's going to have basically from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. broken down by the half hour. And that helps me on a visual note that if I know that at 1 o'clock I have to pick up my daughter, that's what's going to go in that spot. At 2:30, I pick up my son. I mean, just so, you know, so on, so that you just really have a visual of putting down what your day looks like on those really busy days. And then we also have sections for your priorities that you have to get done that day, daily tasks that you have to get done that day. And for me, the biggest difference between the priorities and the tasks are the priorities that are the things that really have to be done that day. Those are those things that you don't want to forget. Like, for example, last Thursday, I used this checklist, and I was meeting with one of my daughter's speech therapists, and I could not forget to tell her when our next meeting was with this new speech therapist that she's going to be going to next year. And so I wrote on the priority, make sure to tell Heidi about meeting next week. So it's just those little things that I can't forget to do that, but that's not necessarily something you're going to put in your daily planner, but it's something that you could put on this daily schedule that you're just using for this one day, and you can look at that and be reminded and not forget it.
Well, it is really a handy sheet, and I'll tell you what I like the most about it is, you know, is that connectivity between the daily projects and priorities and the tasks and the schedule, because this is where my system falls apart, right? It's when I know I have a lot of things to do in a given day, but if I don't connect those things and the big things that I need to think about to a specific time when I'm going to get them done, then invariably I'll end up rescheduling them for the next day. And what I really like about this handy one sheet is that I can print it out for a specific day and say, you know, today I have this, you know, big priority today. Say it's, you know, make sure to get the TCO podcast recorded. And then I have a series of tasks that line up with the TCO podcast. And those tasks I can then move over to the schedule and block out time. And they're all connected. So I can see how, you know, I can actually get things done on a given schedule in a day that's otherwise very, very busy, and it's a great thing. Now, I think the trick is, though, and check me on this if I start lying, is that this is not to be used for every day.
No. I really feel that this is for your busy days. This is for the day that you're stressed because you just have so much to do that day, that this lets you put it on paper and it lets you see what the priorities are and exactly what you said, Pete. How do you fit those priorities into your daily schedule for that day? That's how I see it. Now, other people might be able to use it every day. You know, I wouldn't discourage that if it certainly is something that helps you. But I had in mind those just really busy days.
Well, it's a great tool. And we've got, you know, not to let the cat too much out of the bag, but we've got more forms and checklists that we're working on that really work within this sort of idea of figuring out what your projects and priorities are and how to connect them to the daily activity that of your life. And it's such a powerful concept, and we're very excited about you know, bringing more of those out to you guys.
Absolutely.
So people can find this. We're going to upload it today. It'll be up on the Take Control Organizing site. Just click on resources, and you can fill out a handy little form and get access to this checklist and the growing library of other checklists and forms and downloads that we're putting up there. And I think, you know, we're taking feedback, right? I mean, we want to hear how people are using this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So definitely drop TCO a line at or on Twitter. You can just get straight to Nikki at TC Organizing, and let us know how the checklist works for you, and we'll the daily schedule works for you, and we'll you know, constantly work on making it work more effectively for you all. What else do we have? Anything else to talk about today?
I think that's it for today. We talked about the touch it once rule and the daily schedule. And of course, I would love to hear any questions or issues that people might be having that, you know, if you'd like us to bring those issues into a new podcast in the future, we'd love to know about it and love to hear about it.
Absolutely. So find us at takecontrolorganizing.com. You can jump straight to the podcast from there. Resources, downloads, we've talked about that. Twitter at TC Organizing. And thank you so much for joining us for another week of the Taking Control Home Organizing Podcast.